Hello, Orlando. This is Michael Criswell with Relentless Heart. Thanks for reaching out and asking a question today. And thank you for allowing me a little bit of time to get back to you. So I don't have any idea what you've been through, but it sounds like you've gotten yourself in a mess and life is not working out like you hoped or thought. And you're now trying to find God's help. That's very noble to want God's help. It's a very good thing that you want God's help, and God wants to help you. But the first thing I want to help you understand is, in order to get God's help, you have to approach God on His terms. So imagine for a second you met a very beautiful woman, and you saw that this woman seemed to be the woman of your dreams, inside and out. In order for you to have a chance at having a good relationship with her, and in order for her giving you a chance to be your mate, you would have to approach her the way she wants to be approached, especially if she was a respectable woman, right? She would not just allow you to approach her in any normal way or some perverse, fleshly, lusty way. She would have respect for herself. She would have honor. And you would have to approach her based upon her likes, her dislikes, and what she demanded from you in order to be respected by you and in turn to respect you. My friend, it is the exact same way with God. We all get into trouble and then we want to run to God. But the truth is, Orlando, most people do not really want God. And I don't know if you really want God or if you just want Him to help you in your circumstances. But God is not interested in just helping people have better circumstances. He's interested in people who will love Him, people who will recognize that He made them for His pleasure and for His glory, and people who recognize that they are sinful. They read the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and they realize they're a lying, cheating, thieving, God-forsaken, God-dishonoring person, and they covet the things that other people have. They've used God's name in vain. They've broken multiple of the Ten Commandments, and they recognize that they fall short of God's standard. And the Bible teaches that nobody who falls short of God's standard, nobody who's a coward, nobody who's sinful, nobody who's impure, nobody who's an unbeliever in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, none of these people can enter into heaven. So God teaches that we have to recognize our sinfulness and we have to come into agreement with God that we are sinful. This is how a relationship in getting God's help starts, recognizing. And I don't know, Orlando, if you already know these things, if you're already walking with the Lord, or if you don't have any idea. I'm not sure. So I'm just telling you the basics, that you must recognize you're a sinner. And you must come to a place where you want God's help. You want salvation. You recognize you can't save yourself. You recognize you cannot do enough works to earn favor with God. There's no amount of good works any person can do. The Bible says that our works are like filthy rags to God compared to the purity and the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ offers to pay for all of our past sins on that cross. It can be applied to payment on our account. If we've been sinning, which we have, we recognize it. Jesus Christ went to that cross, died, shed His blood, and to prove that it was worthy in God's eyes, God rose Him from the dead. And by putting your faith in Him, and true faith is believing that which you cannot see and being sure of what you hope for, but it's also obeying what Jesus taught. If we say we believe that Jesus is Lord and we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God looks to see, do you just believe this in word? Do you just believe this in your mind, or do you believe it in your heart? And do you show me you believe by your actions? Orlando, this is where most people fall short. And honestly, my friend, it's a very, very narrow path to follow Jesus. It's very difficult to follow Jesus. I'm going to be very honest with you. It is very difficult. And Jesus says that you should count the cost before you try to follow Him. Now, there's a cost of eternal damnation without following Him. But He says it's a very costly thing to follow Him because he requires that you give Him everything, Orlando. Anybody that comes to Jesus must deny themselves. It's a life of self-denial. It's a life of sacrificial surrender. You give yourself up because you believe that God has something better for you. You desire His presence. You desire spiritual prosperity in your heart. You want to know Him. You want to feel joy. You want to feel peace. You want to feel rest. You want to feel contentment. You want to see answers to your prayers. You want to have your life count for something towards helping other people when you die. And so you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask Him. And then what Jesus does is He causes you to be born again. If you try to follow the teachings of Christ right now, you'll fail. There's no way you can do it. Your flesh is too strong. You'll try and you'll fail. You'll try and you'll fail. And you'll eventually either quit or you run to what's called hypergrace, where these preachers will tell you that, oh, God covers it all. You're under the grace. You're under the grace. Nobody's perfect. It's all right. That's why God is merciful. And they'll lie to you and tell you all these things that you can still live in sin and go to heaven. My friend, you cannot. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Anyone who lives like this, the sexually immoral, the impure, the greedy, idolaters, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the only way through heaven is through pure faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we must be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. And holy means different from those in the world, set apart. We honor God. We live godly. We live pure of heart. We love the Lord. We thank. We're so thankful. You know, think about it. If somebody saved your life tomorrow from a car accident, you're in a burning car, and they pulled your life into their hands and they saved you out of a burning car accident. Okay, let's say you're 30 years old and let's say you have a lifespan of 65. You have 35 more years. This person saves you out of a burning car. Imagine how thankful you would be tomorrow for a person who pulled you out of a burning car. You'd be so thankful to have that extra 35 years of life to see your family, friends, your dreams, your goals come true, right? You'd want to say, oh, I owe you my life. Well, this is what we must do to Jesus even more, because Jesus isn't going to save us from a burning car. He saves us from a burning hell. You see, and that's a much bigger reward, and we should be much more thankful. He saves us from a burning hell, not 35 years left on earth He saves us for. He saves us forever in eternity in a place of absolute supreme happiness, where every love you've desired is made known to you as your real experience. You get to know that you're loved, that you're a beloved son of the Most High God, that He looks past your frailties, and He invites you to receive forgiveness of your sins through the Lord Jesus Christ by putting your faith in Him and humbling yourself as a child and reaching out. But my friend, the one thing that I want to tell you is that you have to approach God on His terms. And so you have to learn. You know, remember, if you were approaching this woman, you would want to learn. You cannot just assume. And you can't just take somebody else's word for it that doesn't know her. See, this is what a lot of people do. A lot of Christians want to know how to get God's help. And then they go online and they watch YouTube videos or they listen to this sermon. And they're asking people that don't even know God, how can I know God? So imagine if you tried to pursue this woman you're really interested in, and you ask somebody who just casually knows her, but they don't really know her. But you ask, what is the girl like? What is she not like? What is her fears? What is her desires? What is her worries? Where's the places she likes to eat? What kind of food does she enjoy? And you're asking because you want to be able to approach her on her terms, but this guy doesn't even know her. And he's taking guesses. Oh, most women like this. Most women like this. Wrong. And then when you approach her on those terms, what kind of result do you get? None. You fall flat. She has no interest in you whatsoever. My friend, it's the exact same way with God. If you listen to these yokels on YouTube and all these people that think they know God and they tell you wrong. And what happens is you try to approach God on their terms based upon what they told you. They don't even know God. So when you try to approach God, you don't get His help. You don't find His presence. You don't have His peace. You don't have His joy. He doesn't answer your prayers. And so you say, ah, God is not real. Ah, God does not care about me. Ah, God, I am too past being helped. My friend, this, what I'm telling you, is the secret to getting God's help. I've been a Christian for 27 years, and for the last 7 years, I fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And here's how I did it. I went back to the Word of God in the Bible. I know you have one or you have access to one. And I started to study the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if anyone wants to call themselves by the name of Christ, they must walk as Jesus Christ walked. That means they have to live like Jesus Christ. Well, how can I live like Him if I don't know His teachings? So I had to go back to His teachings. And here's what I discovered. The simplest way to find God's help is to simply learn and obey His teachings. In John 14, 21, Jesus Christ said, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And my Father will love the one who loves me, and I too will love him and show myself to him. It's probably one of the most important scriptures in all of Christianity, in my opinion. Once you get past the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But every person on the planet has heard of this verse. The most important one is how to have God. John 14:21. My friend, I want to tell you that you should go to my website. If you really want God, if you don't, if you just want better circumstances, wait, don't waste your time. Just keep on pursuing the world. But if you want to find God, if you're somebody who's serious and you want to really know because you really desire, you know you want to go to heaven, you know you want to know this God, you know you want to be loved by your Father in heaven, and you want to pursue him and you're willing to forsake the world, that's the only way you'll find him. And you got to go to the teachings of Christ and you got to learn them, and he will teach you. If you put your faith in him and he sees your genuine faith as evidenced by your turning from any sin that you're in your life, you turn from it. This is called repentance. When God sees your faith, he will honor you and you become what's called born again by his Spirit, called the Holy Spirit. He makes your spirit alive. And all of a sudden, maybe the Bible didn't make sense to you. Maybe God didn't seem real to you or close to you. All of a sudden, you will have this peace and this joy flood in your heart. You'll know it didn't come from you, and it didn't come from circumstances. It's called being born again. And the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, will testify to your spirit that you now belong to the family of God. And then you have to learn the teachings of Christ, and God will begin to manifest himself to you and walk with you and teach you and show you how to live as Christ. And watch this, Orlando, the most amazing thing in the whole world. You maybe not can understand this now, but you have to trust me on this. God will give you this power called grace. His grace is his unmerited power. You didn't do anything to deserve it, but you humbly asked for it, and in faith you believed him for it. And so God is pleased to reward you. When you diligently believe him, he will give you this thing called grace. And grace is the ability to do what you cannot do in your own power. It's the ability to love God like you cannot do on your own. It's the ability to love other people like you cannot do on your own. It's the ability to overcome sin. It's the ability to overcome the world. It's the ability to live in faith. It's the ability to be content in one and whatever circumstances you have in your life. God will give you this power. And brother, it doesn't cost you anything but sacrifice of this life here so that you can have the true life. Life in Jesus Christ and eternal life thereafter. Jesus came to offer life to the full. So I always like to ask people that reach out for help, do you have life to the full? Do you see God providing for you divine provision? Is he meeting your needs? Do you have contentment from the things of the world? Do you have rest for your weary soul? Do you have victory over sin because Christ can set you free? Do you have peace that surpasses all understanding, that stands up under the worst of circumstances? Do you have an abundance of answered prayers and fruitfulness? Is your life being used to impact others for God? And finally, do you have the joy of Christ in your heart? And is your joy made complete? Brother, I am in possession of every one of those seven things I just told you. By God's grace, what is written in those pages in the Bible is absolutely true. There's so many things I do not know, but this I do know. I know my Father, and I know his ways, and I know he is faithful. And if you want to know God, you can know God. To all that would receive him, he gave the right to become sons and daughters of God. That's you. If anyone chooses to do God's will, that's you. Are you an anyone? If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out that Jesus Christ's teachings come from God and he is not speaking on his own. Brother, I want to challenge you to find out. I want to challenge you to go to the Word. And I'm going to tell you, your first obstacle and your most tough obstacle is going to be this, Orlando, and you may not be willing to give this up. And I'm just going to tell you honestly, if you're not willing to give this up, don't waste the first minute trying to pursue Jesus Christ, because he'll have nothing for you, okay? I'm not saying this to try to disrespect you. I'm telling you this is very serious. And if you don't understand how serious this is now, I promise you, you'll find out the minute you step into eternity how serious what I'm about to tell you is. The number one competitor in God's eyes in your life is money. The number one thing that destroys people's lives is money and the love of money. So when you contact me through Facebook, and I go and click on your link and I see that on your header page, you have this safe that's opened up with all this cash and you have these pictures, these great vehicles. Brother, I'm not looking down at you, okay? Because I used to live that life. You maybe saw my story, okay? I used to have that much cash, not a picture of it. I had it, okay? I made $700,000 in 2007. So I know what it's like to have a bunch of money and I can tell you it's miserable. Let me tell you what the rich people will not tell you is that their lives are corrupt and miserable. They have temporary happiness a lot of times. Their lives are so full of corruption, so full of evil and greed and wickedness. It's disgusting in their hearts. Don't even know peace. They wouldn't recognize peace if it walked up and smacked them in the face. This is true, I'm telling you. So my friend, when I look at your website, your Facebook profile, I see somebody who, like me, for 19 years, loves money. I'm just as guilty, okay? I loved money. I maybe didn't put pictures of it on my, you know, Facebook profile, but I was busy earning it, you see, and chasing it. I'm telling you, it has nothing for you. The Bible says that nobody can serve two gods. You cannot serve God and money. And the Bible teaches us to not store up treasures in earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. I'm sure wherever you live in Guyana, you know a little something about thievery. You know a little something about how easy it is for somebody to acquire something and for it to be lifted by somebody else real quick. The Bible says this is a fool who does this. You can have treasure and money in your heart like you cannot even imagine. Imagine what it would feel like if somebody gave you a check for $100 million, okay? Now let me just tell you, my heart feels like somebody gave me $100 billion. And I have less money than most people. And I used to have more money than most people. And now I have more happiness with less money than I've ever had in my entire life. I'm actually in India right now, in a third world country, okay? I'm living in, compared to America, the circumstances I'm living in are extremely uncomfortable. And yet I'm more happy being here in these conditions because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ than if I were living in a castle with satin sheets from Egypt. I'm telling you, my friend, this is the grace of God that's available. If you want it, I'm telling you, everything you try to put your hope in this world, money, jobs, careers, people, deals, businesses, anything you, women, sex, drugs, entertainment, anything you try to put your hope in this world, Orlando, is going to fail you. Maybe you should keep this recording so that a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you can go back and listen and you'll hear exactly what I'm already telling you. And it's now become a reality in your life if you choose not to follow God and instead to love money. You cannot have God and money. Imagine trying to pursue one woman that you have a heart crush on, okay? But at the same time, there's a girl at your office who you're really digging as well. And so you're trying to pursue her and the other one. And the one that you're really wanting and you've told her, oh, baby, you're the one. You're my dream girl. She now knows you're pursuing this girl that you work with. Will the one that you are dreaming about have anything to do with you? No. If she has any respect and any honor at all, she will have nothing to do with you. And my friend, neither will God. I'm telling you the truth. Others will tell you lies because they're going to want your tithe money. I don't want your money. You contacted me about the condition of your soul, and I will tell you the condition of your soul is in terrible, terrible condition because you love money, just like I did. You have to be done with it or you'll never make it. And you'll hear this message played over and over again as you step into the fiery furnace, which the Bible says, not me, this is not my words, this is the Bible saying, okay, that all men, it's appointed for men to die once and after that to face judgment. And we are all going to have to appear before Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, my friend, he is real. Everything in that Bible has come true in my life. Everything I have followed has been evidenced by experiential faith. Wow, this God is real. I have the greatest life. I'm the richest person. I tell you the truth. This is my boast. I do not know a single human being on this planet. Listen to me, Orlando. I do not know a single human being. I know they're out there. I'm just telling you, I don't know them, that is as blessed and as rich in their heart as I am. And yet my circumstances, I can rarely think of people that are as on that low end, people that I know. Yes, there's much people that are worse off. My point to you is I found fullness in Christ, man. I found fullness in Christ. Imagine the God of the universe showing up in your living room. You'll have no more desire for money. You have no more desire for fancy vehicles, for women, for sex, for whatever. It's done with. You can know a peace and a joy in your heart that you probably desired to have when you were 5 years old. Maybe you remember what it was like to desire to have a father who loved you. Maybe you were fortunate and you did have a father who loved you. Okay? I had two fathers and both of them failed me. Both of them failed me. One of them did a good job for a time, but ultimately he failed me in a huge way. My blood father failed me twice in permanent ways. I don't know, maybe you haven't had the benefit of having a good earthly father, and so, but you longed for it when you were a child. Brother, I tell you, if you can tap back into that desire for a good father, I can tell you where there's a good father who loves you. I can tell you a father who will adore, who you could become the apple of his eye, who would want to bless you to know him, not prosperity, not finances. Why would God give you all that stuff that he knows is going to take you away? No. So imagine the woman that you're going to start pursuing and all of a sudden she wants to start buying you all these dirt bikes or motorcycles or cars or boats and all this stuff. Why would this woman do this to you if she only knows it's going to separate you from her? That every weekend that comes up, you're gone, out on the boat, on the motorcycle. No, and God knows the same thing. If you found a woman you truly loved, you wouldn't need her and the motorcycle, her and the jet skis, her and the boat. You would be so delighted to be just with her. This is the only way it can be with God. You cannot have God and anything. It has to be that you get to a place where you're so broken and you realize that you've tried and life has not worked for you. You failed. You're not getting the results that you want. Your life doesn't match up to what you thought it was going to. You have no peace, no joy, no rest, no contentment. Your life is full of fear and anxiety. You don't even know what your purpose in life is anymore, and you don't even know if God exists or if he cares about you. When you get to that place, you're at a place where God can help you, man. God can help you when you're at the end of you. You are at the beginning of him, if you respond properly. If you just walk away from a recording like this and think that your circumstances are just going to maybe change, maybe, the answer is no, they won't. And if they do, you still end in disaster, my friend. I want to challenge you. What I'm telling you is the truth. This is not some fairy tale. This is not some four-year seminary degree speaking to you. I have been living this for 7 years. I'm telling you, God is faithful and he will bless you in ways you cannot even imagine. You will regret every single day of your life you spend in pursuit of money or in pursuit of material or in pursuit of the things in this world. You will regret. You will find days you cannot believe you squandered your life because what you found is an absolute treasure. I want to challenge you. It's up to you. I'm not going to say any more. Jesus would have never tried to sell you as much as I have, but I'm not Jesus. And the Bible says, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. And I am trying to persuade you to take him seriously and to put him first in your life, brother, and to know a love and a peace and a freedom from sin and a life that you've never dreamed possible. It is possible. It's real. I can tell you testimonies from around the world of people who took the John 7:17 challenge, the book that I wrote. You do not have to buy the book. You can go straight to my website, relentlessheart.com. And you can start taking the challenge. That will show God if you're serious or not, my friend. I've laid it out for you. I teach the teachings of Christ with personal illustrations from my own life on how I failed, how I got God's help, how I finally succeeded, and how he dealt with me along the way. Okay? Consider me your personal mentor to help walk you through understanding the teachings of Christ. I'm just maybe just ahead of you, and I'm going to try to pull you along so you can have this extraordinary relationship with your Heavenly Father. You have to believe, my friend. You have to have the faith that what I'm telling you is true. You have to believe that what the Bible says is true, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. If you diligently seek him, he will diligently reward you. May God bless you. May God bless you to know him and desire him and find him. Thanks for reaching out, Orlando. I hope this encourages you. And by all means, if you have any questions about your faith or your journey, I'll be happy to help you. But I want to see you get in that John 7:17 challenge. If you have questions along the way, let us know, brother. May God bless you. Bye-bye.